Hello, dear friends. Carol Side here with an important message from my heart. I'm sorry to say that when the founders of the homeschool movement died, their messages actually died with them. We don't want that to happen with Homeschool Made Simple. To that end, we have recently become a nonprofit ministry and are working hard to ensure this simple, inexpensive, and enjoyable method of educating our children will continue for many generations to come. If you and your family have benefited from our ministry, would you consider partnering with us financially? Our board has told us that monthly commitments are extremely helpful because they allow us to plan for the year. But one-time gifts here at the end of the year are also very much appreciated. As you pray together daily as a family, would you pray that the Lord would bless and guide us as we look to the future? And please visit our website, homeschoolmadesimple.net/donate, to partner with us in this next chapter. We can't wait to see what the Lord has in store. Blessings.
As we inch toward Thanksgiving and Christmas, life begins to ramp up a bit. You might be wondering if you have to stick your usual homeschool routines amidst all the activity of the holidays. Today, we're answering that question. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades through her literature-based approach to education. In this episode from the archive, Carol talks with veteran homeschool mom, Sonia Manson, about how her family approached homeschooling during the holiday season. Listen in.
So this evening, I have the amazing privilege of speaking with my friend Sonia Manson from a beautiful island up in the area of Seattle. And Sonia and her husband, Bruce, have been on the podcast at the very beginning of our start. But we invited Sonia back because she and Bruce have parented 8 children beautifully, and 4 of them are still in the throes of homeschooling. 4 of them have kind of launched. And we want to invite Sonia to share her ideas of how they as a family navigated the holidays each year with their family. So welcome, Miss Sonia.
Thank you so much, Carol. It's so fun to talk to you always. So I'm very happy to be here with you.
So glad to be with you. Well, Sonia, so this is a hot spot, you know, for families. They're like, well, do we just stop homeschooling for the holidays, which, you know, can be a good option? Or how can we change our focus where we're doing constructive, you know, wonderful things with our kids, but making it look a little bit different? So tell me kind of how you and Bruce, what's your overriding premise? And then I'd love to hear some specifics I'm going to be asking you about.
Sure. Well, I was thinking when I was preparing for this about a little message that I had read. And if you don't mind, I'll read it to you, that actually sparked our whole sort of wanting to change how we did Christmas in our house when we only had 2 little girls. And so this was a long time ago, probably about 25 years ago. And it is actually an introduction out of Christmas in My Heart by Joe Wheeler.
I love that book.
Which is a great book. Yes, it's The Second Treasury, A Second Treasury. And this little introduction really made me just rethink a lot of things about Christmas in our home. So I'm not going to read all of it, but just a few paragraphs that really struck me when I read it. If we are ever to discover Christmas as the early Christian church knew it, we will need to make some major changes in how we celebrate Christmas. Instead of our current 24 feverish hours of excessive eating and gift bombardment, we should slow our pace and take time to remember our Lord, to pattern our behavior on Him. For Jesus is the greatest prototype of selfless giving and service for others that the world has ever known. Most merchants won't be happy with us for making such a change, for today Christmas has degenerated into merely another seasonal sale. We become preoccupied with things and get tired out by the countdown to Christmas. We will begin the year, as did the early church, with the season of Advent. We will post an Advent calendar and plan family activities that reflect on the spiritual dimensions of the season. Instead of watching beer commercials that shamelessly trade on Christ's birth, we will take the family to sacred concerts and pageants. All the jolly commercial Santa Clauses will be traded in for self-giving spirit of St. Nicholas, and we will visit and serve those less fortunate than ourselves. Each evening during the 24 days of Advent, we will gather around the fireside, share Christmas stories, sing and perform Christmas music, and fellowship with our extended family. If we are to be successful in reclaiming Christmas from our materialistic culture, we shall have to fill the time once wasted on mindless entertainment with something more profitable, something more in tune with the divine. We will need to develop new traditions.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
So that was sort of our heart of what we wanted to do in our family, and also not to feel stressed during the season. We wanted it to be a strong time of connection. So that started slowly over the years. We layered in things that we felt would pull on our kids' hearts when they left our home, and also just were things that were more calming and centered on the right things. And we let go of the things, more of the things that were the stressful things that we were doing maybe because we felt we needed to do them, but weren't necessarily things we wanted to do. There was just the pressure of, you know, this is what you do. So we created new traditions for our family that were focused a little bit differently.
Yes. So tell me about some of those traditions that you've instituted over the years.
Sure. Well, the first one was before we were even homeschooling. And I had read somewhere about wrapping Christmas books. And then your child could open one each day, unwrap it, and the excitement of that. And our oldest was, I don't even think she was 2 years old yet when we started that. So she was probably about 18 months old.
Yes.
And we started doing that. And I only had a few books, but she was so little, it didn't matter. So we would just rewrap them. And then, you know, she would open a new one each day and we would read it. And we'd set them in the basket. And if she wanted to read them later, we'd pull them out again. But then, you know, I'd rewrap them once she got through all of them. But then over the years, as we gave books for Christmas presents to her and our future kids, and my mom got in on it, and she started giving out, you know, books at Christmas. And she would ask, you know, do you already have this book or is there certain ones you want? And so our collection grew and grew and grew. And it was massive by the time we moved, but we tried to cut down. But we always had enough books that the kids could each open one each day. And we would, you know, it was a very exciting thing. So that was something you can do even with tiny ones before you're schooling. And then as we moved into the homeschool years, we just didn't want the Christmas season. It just seemed overwhelming to try and do a regular school schedule, plus all of the additional activities that Christmas naturally brings, and also still fit in like the Christmas books and all those things. So we decided we sort of changed how we approached school during the Christmas season. And starting after the Thanksgiving week, we do what I would call more of a unit study, Christmas unit study learning. So we do the Christmas readings out of the books that the kids have picked, obviously, every day. But we also start off our morning with a Christmas devotional. And there's so many great ones that are, you can find ones that are wonderful for little tiny ones all the way up to high schoolers and even for mom. And we would connect our devotional reading with ornaments that the kids put on the tree. So they would always decorate our tree, and they would do it very slowly when they were all tiny, you know, just the bottom part of the tree was decorated. And as they got older and got more creative with doing it, the tree got fuller. But we would read whatever section of the devotional for the day. And if it was about the Garden of Eden at the beginning, you know, we would put berries on the tree. And, you know, as we got to each of the different parts of the devotional story leading through from the beginning of creation all the way through to the end, you know, you have angels and stars and all these things you've added on. So your tree is growing. It's looking prettier and prettier. But we started off with the very basic, just the white lights on the tree or whatever But and the star on top. And so then that was really fun for the kids to slowly see all those. It's like just a daily activity they can do that increases their excitement about Christmas as the tree gets more decorated.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
So with the books that you're wrapping, are they books you already own or are they new books?
Well, for us, they were books that we already owned.
That's what I wanted to clarify. Because yeah, it's overwhelming. Like, you mean the families have to buy all these books for all these children?
No.
Okay.
No, they were ones that, so it was very exciting, too, because the kids would try and figure out by shape and feel their favorite books so that they were unwrapping, because we just would have them all in a big pile or a big basket. And then they would like feel them and try and figure out from the shape, oh, is that the one I like? And, you know, get super excited when they'd open it up and scream. And, but when we didn't have enough books too, to encourage moms, because I know books are so expensive, but we would just get good ones from the library if you can do that, because you can still do the same thing and wrap them and then, you know, send them back if you can't afford to. But they do, it's a great gift idea for aunts and uncles and grandparents and people who are asking, what can I give the kids? If there are favorite books, Christmas books that are on your list you'd love to have, and you know your kids would be excited to have them, then that's a great gift that will last forever.
And yeah. It doesn't matter that they don't open it on Christmas morning. They're opening it during Advent.
Yes, they can. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, and then you mentioned good devotionals. Does one or two do one or two come to mind for Christmas devotionals that you were reading? That was like for your Bible time, it sounds like.
Sure, yes, for starting off for Bible time in the morning. If they're really young, for preschoolers, the Sally Lloyd-Jones Jesus storybook is obviously a great one that you're reading during the year to your preschoolers usually. But at Christmas time, she used to, and I think she still does. I know she did as of last year. There's a free download on her website that has it all linked for Christmas. So it gives you craft ideas and other fun extensions. And I think there might even be little ornaments that you can print off in the kids' color and put on the tree. So that's a great one for tiny, tiny ones. And then for elementary, One Wintry Night by Ruth Graham Bell was a really great selection that I loved. I loved the pictures in there and this just beautiful the way she writes the story. As they got older, we also really liked Ann Voskamp's Unwrapping the Gift, which is also goes from creation all the way through. It's a beautiful one, which also has ornaments connected that you can print out. So if you know you don't have a lot of ornaments for your tree and you just want to do this, you don't have to go out and buy a ton of stuff. You can just use what's already provided, which is wonderful. And then there's another series too my kids really enjoyed. There's three in the series, Jotham's Journey, Bartholomew's Passage, and Tabitha's Travels. And those are daily also. I would say they're for maybe like mid elementary and up, because they can be kind of scary for younger kids, but really my kids looked forward to those a lot. And then for mom, I really enjoy Watch for the Light. It starts on November 24th, and there are wonderful devotions, and actually high schoolers could do it too, for readings for Advent all the way through Christmas, and just people you would recognize, very famous people have written. There's different chapters in here, and that's a lovely one for mom. And it also, if your family really enjoys like Handel's Messiah, which we enjoy, our kids singing that with the Master Chorale, and they're singing again this year. Last year, we went through a couple devotionals linked to that, and that is a beautiful thing too for going along with Messiah. So there's one by Cindy Rollins called Hallelujah, Celebrating Advent Traditions, and she also has recipes and all kinds of great ideas in here. And then there was another one we really enjoyed that comes with an audio CD, and it's the Handel's Messiah Family Advent Reader by Donna W. Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. So that's also a good one if you are wanting to introduce your kids to the Messiah. Perfect. So probably not for super young ones, because I just don't think it would hold their attention, but you know, as they're a little bit older.
Now, the focus of Christmas can be very inward or very outward. And I know that you as a family have really worked to get that outward focus in place with your children. Can you share some of the stories and some of the things you've done over the years?
Sure, absolutely. We have tried, we've done a lot of different things over the years. So as I'm sharing them, I just really want to make sure moms understand it's not do all these things every year in December because you will burn yourself out. It's much better to just pick a couple. You know, I always say just pray together as a family and decide wisely where you want to spend your time, your energy, and your money. And so as you pray and make decisions, you know, if there's a lot of great ideas, and of course you'll find ideas in your own area, not even things that I'm listing, but you know, just keep adding them to a list. And then every year, pick a couple of them, you know, so that you're not getting overwhelmed, but you're still having that heart of service. So some of the things that one of the things we've done many, many Christmas is buying gifts for Jesus. And we do that through Compassion or World Vision. So we'll usually have a budget for that. And then we've done it different ways where the kids just had a set amount of money that they could decide what they personally wanted. And then they would share why they picked that specific gift. And then other times we've let them sort of, you know, vote each day, you know, say, you know, we have, you know, $5 a day or $10 a day or whatever you're going to do. And then going through the Christmas season. And if they wanted to save up for something big, they had to all agree on that, or they could buy smaller things. And so that was also fun. Lots of discussion goes on about what people want to do.
That would be things like buying a chicken or buying a goat or a sewing
machine. Or a mosquito netting or medicine or fruit trees or, you know, help for young mothers, or there's so many things. And it's really interesting to see what your child's heart is, what really calls to them, you know, clean water or, you know, whatever really is pulling at their heartstrings. But that's been something we did every year. And then over the years, we've done lots of different things, such as making cards for the kids in the children's hospital that we used to be close to in Southern California, and dropping those off. A lot of times they won't actually let you, you know, go hand them out, but you can always take them to the volunteer office and leave them, and they will pass them out for you. You can also wrap coloring books with crayons or give sticker books, which is a real blessing to kids that are stuck in the hospital at Christmas. We've also coordinated with staff at Ronald McDonald House, which is a home for parents and families who have kids in the hospital. And we had one close to us in Southern California also. And we've dropped off cookies, or you can sign up to do a whole meal. There's usually several families staying there at once, so they'll tell you how many people, and then you just coordinate what night. And that's usually a huge need there. We've done donating food to homeless centers. You can also help make that food if there's that availability at the center close to you. Donating coats and scarves and mittens. In our area, there was a center for homeless teens, which I thought was a really different way to connect with your kids about the issue of homelessness, because it's closer to their age. So to see kids who don't have coats or mittens and they're out in the cold all night long, because a lot of these centers don't have availability for the kids to sleep. They just have a spot for them to come during the day and maybe get one warm meal. And so we did that. We also made, over the years, I think two or three times, we've done the fleece prayer blankets, which are really a beautiful thing too. You cut a couple inches in all the way around the fleece. And as you're tying the knots on each one, you're saying a prayer for the person who's going to receive it. And you can print off wonderful little, like a little explanation prayer for the person that you can then, you know, pin to the or tie with the blanket. And when you drop that off at your homeless center, they'll pass those out to people who are in need. So that's been a fun thing to do. And then also, you know, there's such the typical ones like Christmas caroling at nursing homes. And that's, you know, usually welcome, but do coordinate ahead of time, because they do get a lot of people who come in wanting to do that kind of thing. But you can also make Christmas cards to hand out to. We would usually try and ask if there was somebody who maybe didn't receive visitors regularly or didn't have any family living close to them, because those people, especially, they just want somebody to talk to for a few minutes. And mm-hmm. it's a big blessing to them just to, even if they tell you the same story over and over again, you know, in the 10 minutes that you're there, it just is, it means a lot to them. You can see them get teary eyed. And so that's another good one. So like I said, there's so many things you can do, and every area has different things you can get involved in, but don't do it all in one year right. or you're going to get right back into mom being burned out and everybody feeling like Christmas is not peaceful.
Yeah.
JJ Syed here to tell you about a wonderful new resource from Crossway Books, The Biggest Story Holy Bible for Kids. My youngest son is at an age where he wants the whole text of the whole Bible in his hands. He doesn't just want a story Bible anymore. And so I was so pleased to hold in my hands for the first time The Biggest Story Holy Bible for Kids, taking Kevin DeYoung's fantastic writing and adapting it into resource articles and including Don Clark's beautiful artwork throughout, adding in wonderful little definitions throughout. You look down at the bottom of the page in Nehemiah 5:19, remember for my good, oh my God, all that I've done for this people. And then there's a definition at the bottom of the page for the word remember. God never forgets anything. So when the Bible says that he remembers something, it means he puts it at the front of his mind. In Nehemiah 5:19, Nehemiah asks God to keep him in mind, to keep him close to his heart and help him. A wonderful Bible, a wonderful resource that any adult would benefit from, but most certainly our kids. I would strongly encourage you to look this up and consider getting it for your kids. This is a wonderful first gift after one of your children is baptized. The Biggest Story Holy Bible for Kids is maybe my new favorite children's Bible. You can pick up a copy of The Biggest Story Holy Bible for Kids wherever books are sold, or visit crossway.org/kidsstorybible. to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. JJ Syed here. One of my favorite resources that we use in our home, CTC Math. The founder, Pat Murray, is an award-winning math teacher, a dad of 10 himself. He teaches the concepts really simply and concretely and quickly. He makes it fun. He gets your kids moving quickly through the lecture into practicing and learning on their own. It's definitely removed a lot of the tears and the tension out of math in our house. There's even a 50% discount for homeschool families. You can go to ctcmath.com to learn more.
Is there anything that you choose not to do that's kind of counter-cultural? I mean, I know with 8 kids, everybody's got a plan for your children, and you've got grandparents and different people with expectations. Are there some things that you just say, you know, we're just not going to do that this year or on a regular basis?
I think probably one of the most countercultural things we started doing, and this wasn't until maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, is we started not doing Christmas gifts, but this was with the blessing of our children.
You have to buy in, right?
Yes, they still give gifts to each other. So it's not like there's no gifts going on, but, and they'll make things or, you know, purchase things for each other. But we had asked them one Christmas, because we did live in Southern California, and we never saw snow. And so we asked them if they would enjoy a trip up to our local mountains for a long weekend, about 4 days, instead of doing presents. And so, because with 8 kids and even limiting that to 3 presents a child or whatever, it was just a lot for me. And so we asked them, and they wanted to do it. And we did it for the first year, and they loved it so much, Carol. And they totally all voted for us to keep continuing that tradition. And the thing that's amazing to me is I was the one who planned all those presents before we started doing this. I can hardly remember any of those. We'll watch the home videos, and I don't even remember purchasing those gifts or giving them to them. And they might remember some of them, but I know the memories that we have made on those trips have stuck with me so much more firmly. And I, with our kids too, it's just, it was something that they looked forward to. They were so excited to do it. And I just would suggest, if you can do at all, do experiences over physical gifts. I just think it those connections, the memories that you make, and that time together is just so much more important, because that's what our kids really need during this season, is they need the connection to each other, our family, to God, not all the material things that the advertisers are pushing on you, or, you know, Instagram or whatever. So
this is so helpful, Sonia. We've known each other, what have we figured, maybe how many years would you say?
It has to be at least 26 or 27 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bruce says that you've been to, I think, over 35 seminars.
I think so.
Is that right? In Southern California?
Okay. So when, you know, coming to see you, Carol, for the very first time in Ontario, California, and Brooke, our oldest, was either 3 or 4 years old. We weren't even homeschooling yet. And it was just a 1-hour workshop. It wasn't even your full seminar. But what we heard in that 1 hour started the foundation of so many changes in our family and in our life that was so beneficial that I, and of course, over the years, I dragged so many of my friends and relatives and everybody else into this method with me. But, you know, I am just so grateful because it takes a lot to fight against all the outside pressures, especially in the homeschooling world today with charters and everything, where there's just so much money available to do so many things and so many classes and, you know, things that just are busy work, a lot of busy work, even though they seem, you know, beneficial, and we're all excited to have the money to do these things and all of that. But and we never did a charter, but it was still a really hard struggle for me often to not get caught up in that, because people will come up to you and just be like, oh, you should get your kids in this, and you should be doing this, and you should, you know, this program's fantastic, and, you know, we're driving to San Diego to do, you know, writing lessons 3 days a week for, you know, 2 weeks or whatever. And I mean, it was so much all the time. And that constant, I needed the encouragement from you over the years, which is why we attended so many conferences and seminars, to just constantly reevaluate and get back to the what we needed to be doing that kept things more peaceful in our home. And it makes such a big difference. And it like I said, it ripples out into, you know, every area of your life. And of course, even rippled out into how we handle Christmas and in so many different areas of our life. But that, you know, three-legged stool of, you know, work and service and study and all of that, it just staying focused on the right things, not filling your life with the things that are seem important but really aren't what's important eternally, and just trying to keep your eyes on the long-term vision for your family and eternal life.
And we have just kind of grown old together. You're still in the throes of homeschooling. But I, of course, now as a grandparent, I'm thinking of all this even for grandchildren and giving them experiences and activities rather than something physical all the time, and the memories and the bonding that takes place. And then reading the same books year after year and the traditions that wrap around those books. And we always read Papa Panov's special day, or we always use the Tasha Tudor Christmas hymns, or, you know, whatever book is the books that are really special. Again, we're building that beautiful tapestry of memories and family culture and heritage, which gives children a sense of, I belong. These are my people. This is how we do it. I'm not just some orphan rattling around in the world, but I am known and I belong.
Yes. And these things are the things that they will take with them when they will outlive us. They will, when they leave our home, it will be things that pull on their heartstrings. It will be things that they want to continue with their own children. And those memories are so strong. It's something that we all look forward to every year. You know, some of our older girls are going to be coming up to spend Christmas with us. And they were like, you know, you need to talk to us before we come up and like save the books that we want to be sure we're there for. So, you know, those raft books are going to have to go in a different pile because they don't want to miss out on that.
That is so beautiful. I mean,
it is.
Yeah, they never get too old to come back to those traditions that just make them feel so loved, cared for. And again, that sense of belonging that I think we are raising a generation of children that they don't know where they belong. They have no anchors. And what you've done, and you know, just quite honestly, Bruce, being a public school teacher, you didn't have $1 million to do Christmas every year. You lived, right? You lived very simply, but you made choices. And the choices have been memorable. And now as I've spent time with your grown kids who are still back in Southern California, how the bonds are so tight. And even though you have made a geographic move, which is a big step for your family, but the main thing that you brought to that island were what?
Books. We joke and we're like, we brought books and beds. I mean, and I got rid of probably 2/3 of my library to move up here because we just knew we had to fit it all in this one truck. It's expensive. It was a long ways, but there were just, and the Christmas books, Carol, the conversations over which ones my kids were willing to let go of so that we could pack less of them to come up here. Boy, that was rough.
Oh, there's some heated discussions.
Yes. Very heated. And we ended up not getting rid of nearly as many of those as I really thought we should have. But that's okay because it's, you know, it's
a like wonderful said, problem to
it's
have.
It's a wonderful problem to have.
So. Well, I would love it if you would close us in prayer for these precious families, because I think most families kind of dread this time of year, the expectations for energy, also the expectations for finances. The kids start to kind of lose their minds. They're not eating properly. They're not sleeping properly. You know, whatever goes on that throws people off of their rhythms, and that they have choices, and that if you would just pray for these families to own this season the way you and Bruce have intentionally owned it, being proactive, planning ahead, drawing some boundaries, and having a plan, and not just letting it come at you like a tidal wave, but you getting on top of that wave and riding it the way as much as possible that you choose as a family.
Right. Okay, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to lift up all the families that are represented and those who are listening. We just want to use this time to not focus on the worldly things, Lord, but to bring our hearts back to our true love, back to you, to create strong family connections with each other, to create stronger connections with you during this time. That's what the season should be about. Shift our focus from all the things that are calling and pulling and trying to make us just feel overwhelmed and exhausted, Lord, and help us to use this time instead to bring us closer to your light, to be a beacon of light to our communities, to the people that we choose during this season, to reach out and use our time and energy and our money to encourage them in their life in some small way. Let's remember the words that help them to remember the words of Carol, where she has often said, for homeschooling, are we giving our children a weight or are we giving them wings? And we can ask ourselves the same thing during this time. Are we giving our family and our relationships a weight? Are we giving them wings? And we want it to be a time of just warmth and joy and peace and building traditions that will carry on long past us as our families embrace a different way of looking at Christmas and celebrating and just keeping our focus in the right place through the whole season, Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sonia, you are a gift and you inspire me and so many families. And I'm really grateful for you sharing your resources because a lot of us feel hopeless and you have given us practical tools to navigate this season and
keep first things first. So God bless you.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of homeschool made simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.